back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the last ever we hear week where Big Ben Roethlisberger is going to be coming here from the Berg to take on the Ravens in a relatively meaningless showdown here in Baltimore. Ed Bouchette has been covering the Steelers even longer than I've been covering the Ravens. He's been covering the Steelers when I was going to Colts games out there, but Terry Bradshaw and all that stuff. He is now with The Athletic. He has one of those fantastic athletic sportswear that maybe one day if the whole thing falls apart, they'll hire me so I can start preaching some sports truths out there. Now, look at you, Ed. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Nestor. Thank you.
This is sort of the end of the road, right? We all watched the tears and the cheers and the jeers the other night, and this is quite a different kind of ending than, let's say, the bus had a few years back in Detroit, right?
Well, he had the ideal one because it was his hometown as well. But Nestor, that send off that Ben Roethlisberger got Monday night. I've been covering Steeler home games. Started covering their home games in '74. I've never seen anything like it because they've never had a player, really a great player, really announce that he was done. One exception was Rocky Blyer. Everybody knew it was his last game and he scored a touchdown. He got a nice ovation, but that was it. You know, I haven't seen anything like that in this town other than Willie Stargell when he went out in '82.
Well, and I guess from the storybook side of this, maybe this is when I'm wearing my Costa shirt and it's black and gold. So I get a little black and gold for you. And I owe you some crabs next time we can actually get together and be within 6 feet of each other with maybe a beer or a glass of wine or, you know, whatever. But for Baltimore, right, I was born in 68. Hated Pittsburgh because of my dad and Clemente. My dad loved Clemente, even, you know, especially after the tragedy and all that. That I was 5 years old when that happened. But I think back to the 70s and the Steelers beating us, and I watched the Madden thing with Ghost to the Post and whatever. But, man, Johnny Unitas wound up running around in gold pants in Chargers gear, right? Palmer had a send-off that was unbelievable and then tried to come back in spring training. Earl Weaver had two or three different send-offs where they played Barbra Streisand the way we were and everybody cried. And this is when they had little diamond vision in the outfield and Memorial Stadium and all that. Brooks had Thanks Brooks Day. I went to Thanks Brooks Day and got the poster, the Rockwell poster, right? And actually the Colts played that day up in New England. I didn't even see the game because my dad was like, Thanks Brooks Day. It was the end of September. It was 1977. Everybody here has those moments, right? And Ray Lewis and winning. And like, I would say that is so rare, right, in the modern era. And when I think about Franco Harris in a Seahawks helmet, right? Or Bradshaw, you know, or any of the end of those guys in those, or Barry Bonds went off and did whatever the hell he did. A lot of the heroes, I mean, you have that. Tomlin, when I came in for Give a Spit in 15, Tomlin took me to that alleyway with all the legends. You know what I'm talking about in Pittsburgh? There's like a mural there. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, it's underneath the bridge. It's underneath the bridge. Boulevard of the Allies, right?
So you're saying the Roethlisberger, that from a generational standpoint, he's the top of the top at the because of what he's represented the last 20 years.
Well, I don't know about the top of the top. I mean, there's some pretty great players here when you're counting all sports. I mean, Mario Lemieux is up there. A lot of people believe he's the top of the top. And, you know, you have a lot of iconic Steelers from the 70s. And, you know, you throw in Troy Polamalu and then the Pirates with Stargell and Clemente and Mazeroski. I mean, so there's a lot of competition for men there.
But the Steelers have always been fiscal, right? Like Chad Brown, go play in Seattle. Rod Woodson, well, go run around. Like they've never held on to the end.
That's not true.
Is that not true? Tell me that's not true.
Well, Chad Brown, they just had given a big contract to Greg Lloyd, and Chad Brown moved outside and got like 15 sacks when Lloyd was hurt, and Lloyd was coming back the next year, and they just, you know, there was a salary cap. Same with Rod Woodson. He got hurt. They didn't think he could play corner anymore. He played 1 year at corner in the 49ers, and then he came to Baltimore and played safety. But the Steelers had Carnell Lake and Darren Perry. They weren't going to move him to safety. And, you know, the money, when you say
money has gotten in the way of things like this happening, that magic.
Because of the collective, I mean, because of the salary cap, Nestor. I mean, when you have great players, you have to find ways to pay some and you can't pay the other. The Steelers of the 70s would have won maybe two Super Bowls instead of four if there were free agency, because they wouldn't have been able to keep them all.
Well, we had that with the Orioles in the 70s, too. I mean, the Orioles were decimated by the Yankees and the Angels just coming in and taking players. Ed Bruchette is here. We like talking about history and stuff like that. That just was a monumental statement for you to talk about, Ben, because it's not that I don't think about him in those terms. And then you mentioned Lemieux, who literally saved the franchise, and you know, we can go up and down with all of that. And you mentioned Stargell and obviously Clemente. But just in the modern last 15 years for what Roethlisberger represents, I mean, even Brady's left New England to go play in Tampa, you know? Like, Ed Reed ran around with a Jets helmet and a Texans helmet. I mean, Suggs went and wore a Chiefs hat and got a ring. Like, so a lot of these guys do have that thing where they go somewhere else. You don't get the chance to do what Pittsburgh got to do last week. And quite frankly, Ben, I think Ben will draw 20,000, 25,000 Steelers fans here this week. I think it'll be a second send-off here for him this week.
Well, that would be interesting, because both teams actually, it's a big game for both teams. They can both make the playoffs. They need a little help, but nevertheless, you know, Ben is not going to play anywhere else, by the way. There's no question. This is his last game unless they make the playoffs. So everybody knows that. He's talked about it kind of off the record, and that this is it. So what way to go out, though, against with Terrell Suggs on the sidelines, the most sacked quarterback in Steelers or in NFL history, and the guy on the sidelines with more sacks than anybody else of Ben Roethlisberger, leading the way, at least on the sidelines for the Ravens.
It's crazy how this works out, right? Like, that we're sitting here watching the Bengals, you know, wait to play playoff games in the end of all of this, because the offseason debate was all about the Browns, right? And I thought the Steelers would struggle if they brought Ben Roethlisberger back. I guess struggling is all relative when everybody's a 500 team at this point. But for the franchise, where do they go? I mean, they're not drafting first. They're not getting a marquee, Mason Rudolph. What happens to the Steelers this offseason? Do they get into the Russell Wilson sweepstakes? Do they go out and try to find a 30-something quarterback or pluck some Philip Rivers at the end?
I would be stunned if they did. I know there's a lot of people speculating on Russell Wilson and all these other guys. They might bring a Minshew in, you know, to compete, but they're not going anywhere next year anyway. So I can see Mason Rudolph, who's under contract for next year, which will be his fifth year here, being their kind of bridge quarterback until they get one. And hey, if somebody falls that they like in the draft, I wouldn't preclude them from taking that guy, but I don't think they'd start him right away next year.
Ben, in the end here and winning this week and sort of walking off a hero on a Baltimore field, I mean, sort of nauseating to a Raven fan here, but certainly where the Ravens are with Lamar and whether he should play or not, you say they have a chance of making the playoffs and getting help and all that. I know that's what the preach will be here this week in regard to that, but the Ravens haven't won in a month and a half, man. I mean, like, this is a different kind of feeling at the end, and to have Roethlisberger come in here and end the season with six losses in a row, the whole deal would just be really bad mojo around here after a season where they really thought they could win a Super Bowl. Things started to fall apart. They were 8-3 and still thought that they could hold this thing together. I mean, from all the coaching years we've had here, I think Harbaugh's done as good a job this year as any year ever, just given the fact you'll see the secondary running around this week, Ed. You'll see who they're throwing out there.
Well, if they can get to Ben, which a lot of teams are doing this year, he's been sacked 37 times, most in like almost 10 years, I think. They won't have to worry about the secondary, but you know, the running back has been pretty good too, Najee Harris. They just haven't been very good in the line. The offensive line was tremendous the other night. They had a couple new starters in there, and they'll probably start again in Baltimore. But that's held them back a lot on offense this year. But yeah, nice way to go out. For both teams, I guess. The loser, maybe not so much.
Well, and either way, where the draft positions are and how you help yourself in the offseason, Ed Bichette is our guest. He's at The Athletic. You can subscribe. Tell everybody how to subscribe to The Athletic. I want to give you the beginning of the year. Give the elevator pitch because so many of you do such great work. You know, Jeff Zrebeck's a friend of ours here. In every market, there's one or two or a couple. But for old sports newspaper people like me and an old agate clerk at the Baltimore Evening Sun, I saw the pictures of Ken Rosenthal and Kirchin and Boston. And all the, you know, the old baseball writers getting together the other day. But The Athletic makes news every day, right?
Yeah, it pretty much does. In fact, Kenny is making news right now. You know, MLB dropped him, and some say it's because he was critical of MLB in one of his Athletic columns, which, you know, my tip of the cap to him for doing that. I think that I'll tell you how exactly to go in. Athletic.com. Go to one of find my stories. One of my stories. Go right in there, and they'll sign you up.
Perfect.
It's not that expensive, but you know, a lot of people don't like to pay for content. But you know, I'm on the other side now.
Well, hey man, I'm here to promote and say I've been a journalist my whole life. Mine is still free at this point and sponsor supported. You know, thanks to our friends at the Maryland Lottery, let yourself play. But I, you know, I'm fully down with where journalism's going and this the restrictive policies of COVID. I haven't talked to a football player in 2 years. Journalism is important. Sports journalism is important. And I think even now where all the money is going and certainly where sports is headed here post-COVID, it's important to have independent voices and people who are willing to ask tough questions of commissioners. So as Ken Rosenthal's assistant at the Evening Sun in 1986, tip of the cap to Kenny Rosenthal, my dude. So give him a follow as well. Last thing for you, in the division and sort of the toppling of all of this, the dust will settle this week. The Steelers and the Ravens and the Browns probably won't make the playoffs. We'll have the offseason. I'm not sure what Cleveland's doing because I never really know what they're doing. They still think they have a quarterback and they have a coach they believe in. So I don't think there'll be upheaval there. But here in Baltimore, they're going to pick the pieces up. Steelers are going to pick the pieces up without a quarterback, as you just outlined. And here are the Bengals, who at least maybe for this week, it's shiny. They're smoking cigars. But this kid looks like the real McCoy. It looks like they got their act together there to some degree. And it looks like the young guys they've drafted. The scary part is how good their drafts have been the last 2 years and getting these players on the field. And they're not winning by accident. You know that, Ed.
No, but when you draft high every year, you should be drafting good players, Nestor. That's one of the things the Browns, despite drafting high all these years, still can't get over the hump. I mean, I thought that maybe they did when they beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs last year, but you know, it's been downhill ever since after a 3-1 start. So Cincinnati looks like the real thing, especially they have the real quarterback. He's still on his rookie contract. That helps them surround him with some good players and, you know, some offensive linemen. He's got some great receivers, good running back. So I think the Bengals can make some hay in the playoffs, actually.
He was there when Bradshaw left and Neil O'Donnell, too, and he'll still be around when Ben Roethlisberger's gone, doffing the cap in Baltimore, perhaps the victory, much to our chagrin. Ed Bichette can be followed out on Twitter and in social media and certainly at The Athletic, where they do all things sports and do it better than anybody else. Ed, I appreciate you, all these years of friendship, and at some point, I'll stop in Breezewood. I'll drive through Monroeville. I'll rest my cap once again at the Confluence, and I hope it's this year. I hope we get back to something normal because these Steelers-Ravens things were always fun.
Yeah, they are, Nestor. It was kind of a carryover when the Browns moved there. The Browns were the Steelers' biggest rival, and it just shifted right to Baltimore.
Well, I love that you hate us more.
I love going to Baltimore. I mean, that's one of my favorite trips.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Unfortunately, I won't be there this Sunday.
Next time you come down, I'm going to take you and the Pittsburgh media contingent. And, we can tell Bert, you can come along too. We'll take you to Costas and we'll make sure you get proper crab cakes. All right.
You may not want all the media contingent there, Nestor. I'll vouch for a couple guys.
You pick the ones you like, and we'll do it that way. All right, there it goes. Because if Ed doesn't like them, they're not worth liking up in Pittsburgh. Ed Bichette from Pittsburgh and The Athletic. Make sure you're checking him out. Always good to us and giving us some time and some insights on all things Big Ben. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.